Hello, you're listening to the S Words Podcast. This is Terror Thursday, a brand new segment we're doing to, I guess this is because one time we watched The Orphanage with you, Dom, and we loved it so much that we decided to have more.
I adore that movie. That little boy with the eyeball in his hand.
So let's get this straight. You have a problem with watching horror movies, right?
It's not that I have a problem with watching horror movies, it's just that I don't.
And why is that? Because you get too scared, your mind plays tricks on you?
It's not even that I get too scared, because after a while I stop even looking at the screen. It all turns into my head.
Alright, so this is the first of our Terror Thursdays. We're going to try this. It's basically to try to numb you to all the fears, because that's what happened to me over time. Hopefully my dog Dusty doesn't, like, scare you in the middle of the movie, too. Because every once in a while he'll just, like, run around in the dark, or jump up, or, like, make a woof sound or something. We are watching this in complete darkness, with the only light coming from the television. So this is going to be interesting, too, because I, you know, as much as I like watching horror movies, I also have issues, too. Thanks, Dusty.
Thanks, Dusty.
Thanks for...
If that one works out, if he does that, I mean...
It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So this is our kind of pre-show, like, experiment. So we're going to be watching The House of the Devil. This is directed by Ty West. You can find this on Netflix Instant Streaming. It's been there for quite a while, and it's actually gotten a lot of reviews from most people that like horror movies. It is a haunted house / cult movie. Okay. So, and by cult, I don't mean cult classic. I mean the movie involves cults. So how do you feel about this? What's your do you have problems with haunted house movies?
I'm trying to think, because the last haunted house movie I watched
was...
No, it's not even the Eddie Murphy Haunted House.
Was the Eddie Murphy Haunted Mansion?
It was not. It wasn't even Monster House. I can't remember the last Haunted House movie I watched.
Do Haunted House movies get to you? Because, like, you know, the creaking and, like, the floorboards and the guys living in your closets ready to kill you?
Not really, because number one, the number one dude living in the closet movie that I've watched in the last, like, 20 years is Harry Potter.
Okay, alright.
And since I own a house, like, random creaks and stuff like that, they don't really scare me. They just go, oh, I guess I need to replace the hardwood at some point.
Okay, so we're in a totally different league, because haunted house movies scare the shit, I mean, stuff out of me. Yeah. So we're going to be watching House of the Devil, and we're going to find out who gets scared more. I'm pretty sure Dom will get scared more.
But I'm pretty sure.
I might get scared, too.
Good luck,
well,
Kevin.
We're going to watch the movie now. We'll be right back. All right, Dom. So we have just finished watching The House of the Devil on Netflix Instant Streaming. Ty West's first major release, and I forgot what made Ty West so well known.
Which was?
That nothing happens for a long time, and he just keeps trying to freak you out.
And build, and then, and build, and build,
until,
and build.
Until, like, one, like, maybe 10-minute climax. So how was your experience for the first of our Terror Thursdays?
So the funniest thing is that you're running Terror Thursdays, and I thought that you'd actually, you know, be more inured to this whole kind of thing. But you were the one who was the most vocal. You were like, oh, stuff! Oh, stuff! Why is the camera in so close? There's just, oh, no, mirrors! Mirrors, I hate mirrors so much.
I do
much.
Hate mirrors. Mirrors are evil.
Because there's that one kind of shot where you go in close on a mirror, and then you come back just a little bit, and there's someone behind them.
Yeah, there's a lot of shots like that in this movie. In fact, most of this movie is just a demonstration of how to set up scares in movies without delivering the scare.
Yeah, seriously.
Which actually makes me more scared.
Yes. Well, that's exactly what happened with The Orphanage, if you remember. Like, all of the backup, not the backup, the build-up, sorry, they're... So I was thinking of something else there. But when all the build-up, it's like, you're just cringing, going, I think I know what's going to happen, but I don't know for sure. And if I know for sure what's going to happen, it's going to be less scary, but I know that it might even be nothing, and I'll be scared for nothing, which is even more scary.
Yeah, we had a lot of cases where, well, mostly of me freaking out because of the fact that I think something's going to happen, and then nothing happens. And then because nothing happens, it means the next time I think something's going to happen, oh, it's definitely going
to
happen.
It's going to
be
worse.
But it still doesn't happen. So the next time, it's definitely happening, and still nothing happens. It's still worth seeing for that kind of feeling of dread. I think, actually, he handles that the best.
Yeah. It tells us a lot about our visual and audio culture, where I was hiding behind a pillow going, no, strings, not strings, please, not the strings.
And I think also based upon what our experiences have been before with horror movies, because actually I think if you took a person that has never seen a horror movie, didn't understand what that was supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had them watch this movie before seeing anything else in their life, do you think that the experience would be the same? Because this is built so much on our expectations.
I think it would be similar, but not definitely not the same, because the more you understand about the foundations of horror, then the more scared you'll get. But I mean, it's really well designed too, in terms of shots, in terms of sound design and things like that. Like, it's amazing on that, in those terms. But yeah, I mean, remember when we were just shouting at her when she was in the bathroom, and it's like, you were shouting, "Stay in the bathroom! Stay in the bathroom! You've got a knife, just stay there!" And I was shouting, "No, the bathroom's the worst place to be! You're literally caught with your pants down all the time!"
And then I said, "Well, don't pee while you're in the bathroom, just hold the knife and sit down." But yeah, I actually think out of the two of us watching this, the person, I don't know, actually, I know you were not as vocal as me, and the reason I'm vocal is because it helps me cope.
Well, that's what part of why I was shouting it at you, because, like, what was helping me cope was the fact that you were just as scared as I was, and I was saying, it's like, we need your friend Eric here. We need him here in his bear jammies, and him, like moaning into a pillow.
So the way that this kind of works out is that, for me, I usually like going to do something that scares me with somebody else, or something that I feel like some guy will come and murder us, because at least if someone comes to murder me, there's another person that's going to die with me. So I like that. So it makes me feel safe. But see, Dom, when he's watching something scary, if somebody else is more scared than him, then I think then you're going to feel more safe, right?
Exactly, exactly. Especially if that guy is black, then I know he's going to die first. That's why we want John here.
Oh my god.
I'm kidding.
John would actually laugh at us.
I know. Because
he actually can handle this stuff just fine. And he'll just look at us and be like, "You guys are idiots."
Like, the flow of the movie, honestly, was that at certain points when the music would ramp up, I would, like, lift my arm in such a way so that I would be looking over my elbow at the movie, and Kevin would start narrating the movie at me.
And apparently it scared him more.
It's worse!
Because you still didn't see the shot with the dead family, right?
No!
All I did was tell him about it, and then he thought that I was lying to him to try to scare him more.
I was like, "Kevin, you are such an ass."
And I'm just like, "What? I'm telling you exactly what's happening." And then he would be like, are you just making this up?" No, that's really what was there. It's not that big a deal.
Because that's the thing, right? Once we actually saw what was going on, because at a certain point, we had you hit the remote, and we're like, "Holy crap, this is an hour and 15 minutes into the movie. There's only 20 minutes left, and like six of those are credits." And we're like, how has it kept us on edge this long?
Yeah, it's really the movie that keeps you on edge until stuff happens. And when the stuff happens, I felt more comfortable.
Yes, we were like, oh, so that's what it was. Because we kept speculating on, like, what the mother was, if the mother actually was
there.
Oh,
yeah, whether there was a mother, who else is in the house, whether the house... I actually had forgotten that this was mostly sold as a haunted house movie. There's nothing haunted about this house. Spoiler.
Well, there are a few things, but still, yeah. But,
yeah, just overall, there's actually nothing that's out of the ordinary, except for maybe the ending where there's some sort of ritual involved, because this is about cults, so there's a ritual involved.
Yeah.
But really, the house is safe overall. It's just the people in the house.
Yeah, pretty much.
You keep looking at something behind me, well, so I keep wondering, are my books alive?
No, this is the worst part was, at a certain point, like, at about 50 minutes in, Kevin, you were like, "Okay, I have to turn a light on."
Oh, and yes.
You turn the light... The thing is that, like, right before a part where the lights go out, the motion-sensing lights outside of Kevin's house, they came on. I'm like, "Kevin, your house is an anus. I hate you. Your house is an anus. It's like the stinkiest hobbit hole. This is why they call it Bag End."
It's because I thought someone was outside my door ready to come in and murder us. So I figured us turning on the light inside would tell him to go away because we know he's there.
And then the moment that the lights went out in the movie, the lights went out outside too. I'm like,
it's good. So actually, we were talking about this because we were thinking we're already having this hard of a time dealing with this movie, which really, when you think about it, nothing scary really happens in this movie. It is still legitimately a horror movie. I was scared for a lot of it.
Yes.
But nothing actually happens for a lot of it. And I think, you know, we were talking, like, would we be able to handle another thing like this? Like, if I actually, the other thing is, if I showed you something that I had seen before, my, you know, auditory narration would not be as intense.
That's true. Although, the thing is that you'd seen The Orphanage before when we watched that, and there was that scene where she's lying in bed talking about her dreams, and you're like, I can't remember what happens, oh god, oh god!
Oh yeah, that's true.
And I'm like, this is worse! Did his memory wipe it out?
It must have been so scary.
I'm like, oh god, there's no one there, there's no one there, there's no one there.
So we were thinking, like, well, would we be able to do this again? And I'm like, well, this is supposed to be kind of like a series. We are supposed to do more of these.
Yeah.
They may not be Terror Thursdays anymore, because we probably need to get John or somebody that
We need Eric.
Yeah. We need someone that's either way more scared than us or not scared at all.
Yes.
Because, we need some sort of anchor.
Because you need an anchor on one side or the other, because when it's Eric, right, he's so ridiculous that you feel comforted. It's like, okay, I'm not that bad. And then when John's there and he's laughing, he's like, okay, I'm that bad, but it's okay because he's here, he's not really scared. That means that I'm just being silly, you know? It's like, it's like when your dad comes in and he's like, oh, don't worry, that's just the neighbor's dog. Just go back to sleep, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when someone comes in with his fuzzy pajamas, then it's like your dad going, oh, it's going to be okay, son.
Yeah, and you're comforting that person is just your false bravado, but you got to stick up with it, right?
Exactly. But when it's just you and me, when we're equally scared. Equally
bad at handling the situation.
It's like we're the Wayans brothers, you know? It's just like all it serves to do is make it worse. I compared us to Scary Movie, and I'm very sorry for that.
Oh, I thought you meant the Wayans brothers. I thought you were indicating that the more Wayans in a movie, the worse it becomes.
Maybe that too.
I would take this moment to plug Happy Endings, a great show on television, a sitcom that involves Damon Wayans Jr. You would actually like it a lot.
Oh, yeah?
If you're a fan of things like Arrested Development or Community, Happy Endings is a good show.
Those are strong comparisons right there.
Yeah. It's a good show. It's basically Friends, but if it was like it was written by the guys for Community.
Oh, wow. I really am interested now. But anyway, going back from comedy back to horror.
Stepping away from the Wayans brothers.
Yeah. But, like, you know, this is the funny thing. Like, when it came time to the actual climax, where it reveals everything that's been going on this entire time, we're like, oh.
Yeah, we were not so bad. We were able to watch it fully without covering ourselves in any way.
Because, yeah, your face was buried in your hands. I had, like, my elbows up in front of my face, and I was, like, half turned away as if I was bracing for impact.
Once we saw that it was just acts of violence, we felt very comfortable.
Which I guess says a lot about us, too.
Yeah, actually, when you think about it, those are the scenes where you really should be bracing yourself and not wanting to look at what happens. But in actuality, because we feel so comfortable about knowing what would happen in the violent scenes, we're like, yeah, okay, I can watch this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Where it's just like, oh, this isn't surprising anymore. You know, now it's a question of will she or won't she survive, right?
And
it's
one of those things. And in which case, yeah, she probably won't survive.
Because, yeah, one of those things, like when early in the movie, when it was just them in a car, we're like, oh god, the David Lynch shot. Why is it lit from behind? Why? There's so. Oh no, the hitchhiker shot. There's someone in the back seat. You know, yeah, that kind of thing. Exactly. And we were openly speculating on who would survive. And like that was freaking us out. Like, wait. Okay, so her friend did a bad thing, which means that since these things are morality stories, her friend is going to die for that. How is she going to die?
None of that played into this movie at all.
Not at all, actually.
Nobody got comeuppance for something they did wrong. It was a straight out wrong place, the wrong time. Actually, no. More like you could have told yourself, yeah, this is a bad idea, and you didn't get out of it, so it's your fault.
Yeah, that's the moral of the story. It's like when creepy people offer you lots of money. During an eclipse. You might not want to take that money.
And don't take their candy. Also, don't eat the pizza. Or drink the water. We actually don't know what was drugged.
Spoiler.
It's not a spoiler if we don't actually know what did it.
Yeah, that's true.
We're hoping that at that point where we said we went to go watch the movie, that you stopped and watched the movie. Because I'm assuming a lot of you have Netflix instant streaming, and you know, you have like an hour 20 of time on your hands and you're willing to watch a movie to understand how we, you know, we were talking about this during the movie. We really should have been recording ourselves during it so that you could listen to us experience the movie as you watch
it. Oh crap! Oh crap! Oh crap!
It's mostly two men acting like women.
Well, no, not even acting like women. Acting like very scared men.
Okay, that's very, scared, very different. Very scared men. So worse than women.
And then randomly Dusty comes through with his squeaky toy. We're like,
thanks,
Dusty.
And then he comes over and smiles at us like he's so happy that we're scared.
He starts licking Kevin's feet.
That's every day anyways. So, I mean, that was House of the Devil. I mean, we have other things on our list, some of which I've seen and some of which I have not. So, I mean, the ones that I've seen are probably going to be an easier experience for you. So we should probably go with ones I haven't seen.
Okay. All right. But yeah, so the thing is that, like, I really like reading the scripts of horror movies because a lot of them are very well put together in terms of dialogue and things like that. And then you can really see what they're getting at. With this one, like, this
there's
one
like
was
no dialogue.
This one was much more like art for the sake of art. Right? Like, it was all about the technical construction, it was about the lighting, it was about the composition of each shot.
About, in order to make you feel uneasy.
Right. And, like, there's no social lesson here, it's not about Vietnam, it's not about capitalism, it's not about the military-industrial-economic complex. Just to name three subjects picked out of things that totally weren't made in a row by George Romero. Right?
Oh, zombie movies. We don't have them like that anymore.
But it was made just to be made and to be good at what it was.
It's almost like a collection of techniques.
Yeah,
right.
Right. And so this is one that I'm really glad to have watched because the techniques are amazing. Like, it's really, it's absolutely zero that is groundbreaking, but it's strung together in such a way where it's like, this guy knows exactly what he's doing. He knows why he's doing it. Every shot is done very well in order to either lure you into security or to ratchet up the tension and then just keep ratcheting up, ratcheting, leaving it to your imagination, you know.
Actually, like, when you think about it, you don't get that very often in movies anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get, like, this huge amount of building up the movie.
There was, like, one serious jump scare.
Oh, and that was, like, that was so cheap, too.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where it's like, when there isn't that jump scare, there that giant sound, the scream, the actual, you know, thing happening on screen, then you just turn into this knot of nerves and screaming, and it's like, I can't scream because I might drown out the movie, and I want to, but I shouldn't.
I like how there's so many moments where there is sound going on, particularly the running water and the drains, right?
Yeah.
Where, actually, when you think about it, those sounds, you don't really know what's going on, but your imagination fills in some sort of weird path for you to kind of travel and think like it's something worse than it actually is. In fact, so much of this movie is just guiding your brain into scaring itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like the two of us and you create your scares really easily and they're like way worse than anything else you could actually see, this movie is terrifying for a lot of it.
Maybe that's the moral of the story. Don't have a strong imagination, kids.
Yeah, because he's so good at setting you up to just do it yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I know for some people that's not scary at all. They need to actually see something to be scared. And so, I mean, this movie is not for everyone. But if you're the type that, you know, is so used to atmosphere getting to you or just how something is set up or just you filling in the blanks, this is going to feel very scary for you. It definitely felt really scary for me.
Like we spent like a good 10 minutes talking back and forth about, it's like, what do you think the mother is? Do you think it's like Norman Bates' mom? Is she just a mummy in the attic?
And I'd just be like, I hope that's what it is because that makes me feel safe.
Yeah, it's like maybe because it's called House of the Devil, maybe the mother is actually the devil, you know?
And I hope that is because that actually makes me feel safe.
Right. Because it's all about the unknown, right? It's what hits the was it Paranormal Activity, I think it was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where it's just...
But even, I felt this was way scarier than Paranormal. Paranormal has a few things that they like to do to try to, like, get you set up for scares, mm-hmm. but this was every single type of way to try to set up a scare.
Yeah.
And actually naturally built together without really forcing it to be like, okay, this is the part where we show this kind of shot, or this is the part... It's just all there, and it's strung together, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, for sure. And It's not like, well, okay, maybe the character was stupid, never mind. Because one of the things
that... There are no characters that are smart in this movie.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, people, when they watch horror movies, they go, oh, you know, under that much pressure, I totally wouldn't crack. I'd do all the smart things. And I was like, yeah, this is different in that she does all this... No, she doesn't do all the smart things. Never mind.
Well, like, initial, like, taking the babysitting job was not smart. But in terms of her reaction for things in the house, I mean, she was pretty decently smart.
Yeah.
She just got drugged, and she... I mean, she can't have figured that out too early.
Yeah. But,
Can you even put, like, drugs in pizza?
Look, pizza is already poison to me anyway, so... I'm sure that anything that you could do to a pizza wouldn't make it that much worse to you, or at least to me.
So now that you've seen this, although I don't have VHS, but I would totally want to show you Ty West's VHS short at some point, because it's maybe 15 minutes and it's less supernaturally intense like than this, but it's about a couple on their honeymoon. And they're just going from place to place, and you just see video footage of their you know, they're going to like the Grand Canyon, they're going to this old like touristy stop and everything, and in the background you always see this one like kind of hooded weird looking person that's been following them along their honeymoon, and eventually one gigantic climax, but it builds for like 15 minutes of just like, Jesus. It's not obvious about it, you just start noticing something very uneasy all the time in the background. Wow. I really liked that short. A lot of people didn't, but I thought it was pretty intense.
Okay. Wow.
All right, then. I know you have to drive home.
It's okay. although, do you mind walking me out to the car?
Yeah, I will, actually.
Okay, thanks.
Just listen to KNVR on your way back, too.
We'll do. So
you can listen
because
to
I think
baseball
it's the Warriors
talk.
Game or something.
Oh,
right
did they
now.
Win?
Yeah.
We got to check right now.
Up. Hold on, I'm looking it up.
All right, listeners. This is basically like you listening to us live, but recorded.
All right, let's see if the Warriors won.
Yeah, if the Warriors won, you'll be safe.
Of course, and if the Warriors lost...
Then it's like an eclipse.
The Warriors are winning by 17 with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Oh, still a possibility
still
for,
a
Denver,
possibility
to
for Denver to come back.
All right, so you are safe so far. So hopefully you get back in 7 minutes.
Oh, man, you remember the Super Bowl when it was Oakland against Tampa Bay, and we were in Berkeley, and after Oakland lost, we were like...
We shouldn't go outside.
We shouldn't go outside. There's a lot of angry Raiders fans, or very sad Raiders fans. Let's hang out here for a while.
I remember that year. We were supposed to win. Yeah. It was the coach. He set us up to lose automatically. And it was really Tony Dungy that set up the Bucks to win, even though he wasn't coaching that year.
Yeah, it's true.
You can read about that in The Power of Habit.
Oh, really? That's actually a subject in there?
Yeah, about how Coach Dungy established good habits. So basically he had players learn very few plays, but just like constantly the same habits over and over. He just drilled them on it.
Nice.
And that's how they got better. And then when they fired him because they didn't win the Super Bowl that year, then they won the Super Bowl the next year. And the guy that did it he sucked. He was basically like the, what's the guy that won the Super Bowl for the Ravens before, the quarterback that sucked?
Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, he was like the Trent Dilfer. I mean, the coach of the Bucks after Dungy left was a Trent Dilfer of coaches.
Are you saying that about John Gruden? That might be a little controversial. Though after his time in the Monday Night Football booth, people are like, maybe he doesn't know as much about football as we think. Because he's like super rah-rah back there. He's like, I love this guy. He's great. And this guy will just promptly drop a pass. It's like, I love this guy. So good.
This wouldn't be the S-Words podcast without us diving into discussions about football from the House of the Devil. This has been Terror Thursday.
This has been Terror Thursday with Dominic Nguyen.
And Kevin Chu. And I bet you we're going to do another one of these. It's probably not going to be on a Thursday because we definitely need to have a third.
Yeah, we really do.
I think next time we will be watching Devil's Backbone.
Devil's Backbone? Okay.
It's a Spanish movie.
Oh, the Spanish movies are the worst by being the best. Oh, Jesus, Kevin. Kevin, where are you going? Kevin? Kevin, come back here. Kevin?
So we'll either watch The Devil's Backbone, or we might watch From the Mouths of Madness, which is actually considered like Guillermo del Toro's favorite horror movie, and for a lot of people, their favorite horror movie that inspired them. I've never seen either of them. I've heard that they're both kind of scary in that we would get scared.
Okay.
So they are Spanish movies, and unfortunately, I don't believe either of them is instant watchable. We might just do one of these for a ESPN 30 for 30 as well.
And out of just curiosity, are we still going to stay European, or are we going to try Asian horror at some point?
Asian horror is really difficult for me because I like to sleep. I am horrible at Asian horror. Oh, I do want to bring something up. When I was staying in Chicago at one of my friends' place, so what happened was there was a thunderstorm the night that we had arrived, and then actually what ended up happening was his basement got flooded.
Okay.
Which was unfortunate because it also meant his hot water heater and his actual heater died.
Oh, geez, okay.
And then he's actually very scared of horror movies, too, so I was mentioning to him the movie Dark Waters, which is about ghosts that live in the flooded basement.
Oh, God.
And he had to go down to that flooded basement and unclog some stuff and, like, look for things, and he kept getting freaked out that some, like, hand would jump out of the water and grab him.
Dude, if you played that segment of Amnesia, you know exactly what I'm thinking about right now.
So, you played Amnesia before?
Yeah. I haven't finished it. I actually streamed my playing of Amnesia, if you want to go through the
archives. Oh, my God, yeah, I will watch that, because, you know, so you mentioned my friend Eric earlier.
Yeah.
He's tried to play Amnesia before, too. And
you mentioned that.
And he, apparently he, at some point, got so freaked out, he ran away from the game and went to a corner and started, like...
Weeping, right?
Weeping, yeah.
Yeah. You'll see me sinking lower and lower in my seat, like, because I have my webcam on me for most of it. And I'm just sinking lower and lower in my seat until all you can see is, like, the bridge of my nose up and just my hands on my head going, oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God!
Like, so what's so freaky about that game? You just can't look at the thing chasing you, right?
So the freaky things about the game are you're told from the very beginning that you cannot kill what is coming after you.
Okay. So you just keep running.
And you can only run. Also, so whenever something hurts you, you can never fight it. You always have to run away. There are things that are actively looking for you, but if you look at them, then you start losing sanity. And then they're attracted to the light, but if you're not in the light, you start losing sanity again. And so it's just this cycle of, like, you end up huddling for warmth near a lamp, and then you'll hear something, and then you'll hide in the darkness. And you'll hear something a little bit, but also your character will just go, you know, because it's just that extra layer. One of the parts that freaked me out the most, actually, was there's a part in a flooded basement.
Oh, excellent.
And there's something invisible coming after you. You can only see its footsteps. And so what you're supposed to do is, it can't see you unless you're walking in the water. So you're supposed to jump from, like barrel to bookcase to... like chest to box and stuff like that, except there it can kind of hear you, and so it goes sploosh, 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 just following you. And there are certain parts where it's designed just far enough where you have to enter the water a little bit, and then when that happens, you'll hear it'll just come after you, like, oh no, like it's the worst.
And there's no penalty for death.
There isn't a penalty for death.
You just die, right?
You just die, and you restart the segment, but it's still...
I don't want to play this game.
Yeah. It's amazingly well constructed.
All right, cool. Well, you can find those videos online of you doing it, right?
Playing the game. Yeah, it's on my Twitch TV channel, twitch.tv/vibratingsheep.
You're still using that?
I am.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, jeez. Terror Thursday, huh? We're going to turn it into a Terror Saturday instead?
Yeah, that doesn't really rhyme as well. Why was Scary Saturday?
Scary Saturday.
Scary All S-word right. Saturdays.
Yep.
All right, cool. So this wraps up our first of the Terror series, or Scarer series.
Yes,
Scarer. We will call them Scarer Saturdays.
Scare Words.
Scare Words. Scare Words podcast.
All right. We're going to wrap this one up.
All right, we're wrapping this one up. Hopefully we also do a recording on Tony Stark. That may never actually happen, but at least you got something, guys. All right, wrapping up. You can always contact us at feedback at s-words-podcast.com, www.s-words-podcast.com, twitter.com/s_words. This has been Kevin Chu.
And Dominic Mann.
All right, stay scared.